This is House Parties for Nerds, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Formosa Saniquis and read by Rita Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and is Jen, with pre-slash of Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson. Additional tags for Fluff, good babysitter Steve Harrington. Steve Harrington is a sweetheart. House Party, brotherly Steve Harrington. Post-season 4. Alternate universe, everyone lives, nobody dies. Steve fully believes with his whole heart and soul that after everything the kids have been through, they should get to do whatever they want. Within reason. Dustin actually can't be trusted to do whatever he wants, but with the review board of his peers' approval, he's good. If it's safe, sane, consensual, and mostly age-appropriate, Steve will do whatever is in his power to make sure they can do what they want. So, yeah, he's throwing another kegger at his big stupid house. You can stop laughing. This is why nobody invites losers to parties. That only serves to make Eddie and Robin switch from giggling quietly as they watch Steve get his house set up to full-on heckling. Oh, how quickly the king returns, Lady Buckley. You're the loser here, for the record, Munson. I got invited to parties. His mom's fancy vase, pronounced with an ah and a zuh, goes to the upstairs study with a lockable door. Eddie and Robin trailing behind. I got invited to parties, too. Actual parties, not just band and theater kids being obnoxious in public spaces. I've been invited to a King Steve party pre-character growth. Eddie, the caterer doesn't get to say he was invited to the wedding, Steve says, while he does a quick mental inventory of the room in front of them, ignoring Eddie's gaping, offended face. Mom's vase is on the desk. The ugly off-white modern art piece Dad bought in from New York that's begging to be vandalized is by the desk. Good liquor that can't be dumped in a punch bowl is in this liquor cabinet. He can see all the jewelry boxes and the photos that anyone cares about on his dad's massive desk, leaving little imprints in the dust covering it. Shouldn't the kids be helping with this instead of us? Eddie is pouting now. And Steve doesn't have the time to think about how his crossed arms and pouty lips are adorable. You aren't helping, you're watching me. And I don't trust them to help any more than you. I told them all to be here in an hour for the safety brief. There's a safety brief? The safety brief is part 2 of Steve's 3-part series he's been calling A Guide to Real-Life Parties for Nerds. It's a name he uses privately. He didn't think any of the nerds he now calls his own would appreciate the distinction. Lesson 1. How to plan and throw a half-decent high school party. If a thing was worth doing, it was worth doing right. The one life lesson his dad had tried to instill in him that Steve also kind of agreed with. So when the kids said they wanted to have a real high school party experience, he wanted to make sure the nerds were prepared. Don't make flyers. You aren't cool enough. It'll look like you're trying to invite the whole class to your 3rd grade birthday party. Christ. Dustin is taking notes. This is why he had to do this. Will would actually make cool invites. If this party ends up being a success, he'll tell them they can make flyers for their next try. Let Max and Lucas do the heavy lifting for word-of-mouth invitations. He looks at them both, actually sitting beside each other. It's been on again since Max got out of the hospital and got her casts off. For every 1 person you invite, assume at least 3 are actually coming. If they're actually popular, assume you're inviting 6. Nobody is going to a house party by themselves. Word will get out if you're having a party that's any good. It will get crashed, and it will get crowded. Why would you go to a party where you don't know anyone? Mike had wanted to know. Free booze and drugs. Which brings us to the next point. You'll need booze and drugs. If you're planning a good party, you'll want a way to get a hold of a keg and someone to keep the mood light. If you're serious about this, he knows they are. Six serious sophomore faces are staring back at him. I'll get you a keg and Eddie will what? Yeah. He just has to push past Eddie's initial panic. Understandable and justified, given his spring break. Nothing serious. Some weed, maybe a little coke. The usual party favors. For our? He gets his own little high from that. Eddie calling the kids theirs. But he won't get distracted. They're gonna try it eventually. Won't you feel better if it's shit from your supplier or whatever? Maybe this is also a point of personal pride. He's not gonna have a party at his place be lame. He still has some of it. Oh, a second point. This is the first party at my house since 84. So actually, plan for at least 3 looky-loos from the upper classes for every underclassman you invite. Seriously? Max asks, her eyebrows raised as Mike's lip curls. She'll hate that when she finds out. Seriously. He lets them remember that before he got relegated to babysitter and punching bag, he was Steve Harrington, the guy you get cool as an underclassman by being rich and hot and charming. He gives them a second to slot this second Steve into their mental space, to try and imagine the guy they've accepted as a brother before he was put in that sibling role. He claps his hands to watch them jolt out of their daydreams. You can't leave them to think too long. That's when Steve starts to get in trouble. Now, he says, Robin is going to show you how to breathe so you get high better. He locks his bedroom door last. Checks the doorknob to make sure it shakes but doesn't turn, before turning back to Eddie and Robin. He hands them each a key. No one but me or Robin has sex in my bed. No one shotguns beer by the pool. An abbreviated safety meeting for the almost adults play acting as chaperones for the evening. I can't have sex in your bed? Eddie didn't quite achieve teasing, but manages hurt pretty well. The party planning has reminded him the kind of jealous he used to be. There isn't enough time for the conversation they need to have. You were included. Dustin slams the door on entry. Saved by the bell. Steve! Duty calls. They arrived in a pack even without Steve chauffeuring. Not a single one of them is dressed like they're going to the same event. You put your bikes in the garage like I told you to? Yes, Mom. Dustin, who was the mouthpiece for what Steve suspects was a group want, has also been the most aggressive about the whole thing. He gets it from Eddie. Mike has had the good sense to keep his annoyance quiet and mostly contained to his face. He gets that from Eddie, too. You'll thank me when they don't get stolen by drunk football players. Go sit on the couch. He needs to fix Will's hair. His fingers itch with it. Mike looks like he grabbed something from Eddie and Argyle's closets, and the purple Hawaiian with the wizard shirt have enough clashing patterns, even Robin is giving it a side eye. Max is fine, L2. They probably got ready together. Part of him wants to fix Elle's hair, too. Just to adjust the wild pattern of curls that's starting to regrow. But she is still sensitive about it. And the rest? Robs, take Dustin and Lucas up to my parents' room so they can stash their coats. Steve, I know you don't know anything about style. Dust, you look like a science teacher who's running late to chaperone the snowball. Why are you even wearing a blazer, man? When have I ever made you think that's the move? And because he's watched his stupid little brother grow up, He obviously notices the way his face pinches and breaks. Hey, no, look at me. The hair looks great. Unbutton the shirt, show off some chest. It's gonna be too hot for the jacket anyway, dude. He waits for the nod, the confidence returning. You look good. Head up, shoulders back. We'll get a picture for Susie, right? Lucas doesn't complain. But Steve also wore his Letterman everywhere after he got it, even though it was too hot and the collar always itched, and appreciated any excuse he got to take it off again. The keg is already tapped outside. Don't try to outdrink anyone. You will embarrass yourselves, he says, once he's got them all settled back on the couch again. Should he have shown them how to do a kickstand? Max was still rebuilding muscle mass in physical therapy, the only one with a real excuse to not be able to hold themselves in position. Maybe Lucas would try? It's not like he's actually proud of this legacy of kickstand king, but he's not proud of it. It would be nice if one of his kids could continue the tradition, like one of those stupid royal traditions that Eddie and the boys are so into. It's too late to worry about now. If you're going to drink from the punch bowl, do it early, he continues. It'll get even dicier as the night goes. Don't touch it if you've already had beer. I thought you weren't going to act like our mom tonight. It's early in the evening for Mike to be angling for a fight. But honestly, he'd rather get it over with while the kid is still sober. I don't give a shit if you do drink, Wheeler, but if you go for the hard shit second, you're gonna get drunker than you want to. There is more than one kind of drunk? Elle asks. He definitely hasn't prepared them enough for this. He hasn't prepared himself enough for this. Give the kids whatever they want, the traumas. Never mind that he is about to contribute to the delinquency of the recently reinstated chief of police's minor. There's the fun kind, and there's the convince your dad you got food poisoning from Karen's meatloaf kind. Anderson, you're sticking to weed. Lucas, random drug testing still happens at summer intensive. He's starting to feel a little buzzkilly. But seriously, Henderson isn't allowed on any uppers. He'll end up building a robot in the garage. Or worse, he'll get the same kind of not high that Steve does, and he'll be the kid in the button down who can't get high right. When he notices Eddie starting to vibrate. Can I offer you the floor, Eds? As a point of professional pride, I'm not having your first high be experienced cross-faded. If you drink, you're not smoking. Oh, Eddie was going to be an even bigger buzzkill than him. That makes him feel a little better, actually. Figures the little shits wouldn't call him on it, though. Eddie's their cool counterculture dungeon guy. When he tells them not to do something, it's because he's experienced and looking out for them. And somewhere between concussion 1 and 2, Steve went from cool and experienced to lame babysitter. If the cops show, the cops don't break up Harrington parties. You gonna host all their parties here, sweetheart? Or are you gonna let the baby birds leave the nest at some point? I just don't think that the kids with the 6 biggest problems with authority to ever hit Hawkins need to be told not to talk to the cops. He arches a delicious fucking eyebrow. And Steve wonders if maybe he wasn't ever cool since he's attracted to things like smug eyebrow raises. Is that so? Even Chief Dad? I know not to tell Dad that I attended a rager. Elle delivers it with all the seriousness she always places on new words she's savoring. She knows not to tell her dad about the rager. He repeats, with all the seriousness of someone who's just been proved right to someone who views being corrected as insult and foreplay. Can we get on with this? At this rate, Troy and the rest of the wannabe King Steves will be here before you finish, Robin says, draped across the armchair like she was waiting to be carved into marble. That's the worst thing you've ever said to me. We didn't invite Troy, Mike says with a sneer. Obviously, so he's gonna come. If you actually see him, you say something about how some people just don't know how to keep an invite private. Bitchy! Eddie probably has some wires crossed on his brain. He definitely said that like a compliment. Do you practice those, or are you naturally this catty? Didn't Robin just say we don't have time for this? Max complains. He takes a deep breath and reminds himself that Robin fills the cool older sibling role and he has to take on the stuff that's left. Always tell the EMTs everything you've taken, Eddie says. They aren't narcs. Friends don't let friends flatline in an ambulance. And if you see someone passed out, roll them on their side. No blood by the pool. That should cover anything they might think to do out there. There has to be a less ominous way of putting that. Nothing that can cause bleeding by the pool? Robin suggests. They knew what I meant. The upstairs bedrooms are locked. If you get overwhelmed, come find me or Robin or Eddie. We've got keys. You can hide out in one of them. He's forgetting something. He can feel it at the very back of his brain. No blood by the former death portal in his backyard. Beer before liquor. What was the last? His eyes catch on Max as she leans into Lucas's side. She whispers something into his ear that has him at rapid attention. Steve can only assume he's blushing as he fidgets in his seat, but he knows for a fact they're both guilty of something. Max is too pleased, and Lucas is looking at the wall over Steve's left shoulder. Now he remembers his last point. Mayfield, I know Eddie's been teaching you to pick locks. If you break in and have sex on my bed, you're buying me new sheets. And I'm going to tell Erica in detail all the shit you've said about D&D. Use a closet or a backseat, or wait until your parents aren't home like a normal teenager. Max is definitely red-faced, glaring at him in a way that's clearly trying for unbothered, but makes him a little more worried that he's failed to consider she might have Vecna-induced superpowers. Probably not, though, or Mike would have already had his brain melted. Lucas looks even more like he wishes one of the multiple upside-down encounters had killed him. And like, Steve has been there? But even more than that, he's had a lot of bad sex that he wasn't ready to be having. Can this be over? Lucas begs, the room in agreement. Each looking at him like he's asked them to imagine their parents having sex. Yeah, someone get the music started before Eddie can ruin the mood. He relishes the little grumble, the way Robin snorts, and the kids immediately start arguing. Well, if you care about me at all, you'll let me fix your hair. He wakes up slowly, the pleasant kind of tired that comes from a night of drinking just enough to avoid the hangover. He's sandwiched with his arms wrapped around Robin's soft middle. She stirs with him, the back of the brain awareness they have for each other, letting her know he's awake. And Eddie, pressed close to his back, still asleep. She wiggles back into his hold before pulling away, cat-like. She lets him know she's happy he is there, before moving out of the too much stimulation of touch. So he flips, rolling over in his body-warmed sheets to look at Eddie, the way he smiles even in his sleep. He says yellow suits Steve, but Eddie is bright like every star in the sky on a clear night. There's something about looking at Eddie. The way sleep relaxes his face. The way even while dreaming, he isn't truly still or quiet. A tiny wiggle and a soft sniffling. It makes his chest feel too full, ready to burst with an affection that's easy to name but hard to say. It makes him want to sink his teeth into something. And in the fuzzy early morning, he can't think of any reason why he shouldn't set his teeth into the unblemished meat of Eddie's shoulder. Tempting, and just barely revealed by the cut-off sleeve of the 1983 Indiana State swim meet shirt he'd stolen. So he does. He can feel Eddie wake up beneath the set of his teeth. Lets him go before he can startle and pull and maybe actually hurt himself. Which might be fun later after a conversation and a chance for Steve to put his mouth somewhere higher than his shoulder first. Steve Arrington, are you a freak? He's amused, though that's mostly clear through the smile tugging at his mouth. His voice is sleep rough and gravelly in a way that makes Steve want to get freakier. And you're so straight-laced, Eds. I'm worried you won't be able to keep up with me. They're talking around a bigger point. One they should probably get to when... It's too early for this, Robin interrupts. And Steve was never not aware of the way their backs pressed against each other, but Robin being present hasn't ever stopped him before. I can feel my brain cracking my skull. So if we could do this outside of my bed... My bed? Our bed? That'd be great. Steve, hang over breakfast, please. The please is performative. She's making demands, like he hadn't told her trying to go shot for shot with that 4-H kid was a bad idea. And anyway, he already has plans for this morning. Let's go to the diner. Get something greasy someone else made. Robs, grab my earplugs. You're gonna love the final lesson. Eddie cracks an eye open at that. Final. He could wiggle his way down to the bottom of the bed. He could wait until Robin gets out first. But then he wouldn't get to savor the way Eddie blushes up to his hairline as he rolls over the top of him. I wanted you to eat shit so hard, Harrington. Given how nice a weekend it's been, he refuses to acknowledge Robin hating on his game. That was a you rule moment if there's ever been one. The living room is empty of everyone but the kids. Max's last call announcement, letting everyone who wasn't an adopted Harrington know they had an hour to get out before they were trespassing, was surprisingly successful. And only made a tipsy Steve cry into Robin's shoulder a little bit. She really did have a good lawyer. They were sprawled across furniture and the floor, all of them on their sides, with limbs and necks bent into angles that couldn't have been comfortable when they passed out, and were definitely going to smart when they woke up. His favorite pan is in his left hand, wooden spoon in his right. He can feel the moment that Eddie and Robin realize what's about to happen. There's a second, just one, where he feels bad that he's about to startle six kids with a traumatic stress condition. Until Dustin snores, and Lucas snorts, and he remembers that these are the same kids that tackled him in bed 2 weeks ago, demanding to drive them to a comic shop 2 hours away for a comic that hadn't even been there. He loves them. They should get to do whatever they want to. But that doesn't mean they don't have to experience the consequences. The spoon thunks against the bottom of the cast iron with a pleasant-sounding thunk, ringing to the chorus of six hungover teens. He smacks it again to hear the refrain one more time. Last lesson, he shouts, feeling an angry pulse behind his head that means he's maybe not been as lucky as he thought. Party hosts, clean the house. You made the mess, now you get to fix it before the parents get home. Who are the parents in this scenario? Not us, right? Steve always gets wistful after drinking. Maybe he's thinking about his nuggets again. The terrible twosome behind him are really undermining his menacing image. It almost makes him miss Tommy and Carol. Almost. At least the kids are at the stage of hungover where any noise is terrible. Robin and Eddie aren't exactly known for their volume control. I spent the better part of my teen years doing more than their actual parents to keep them alive. If I want to call myself a parent, I will, he tells his hecklers. And to the kids, get it cleaned up and we'll bring you something greasy to cut the misery. Dustin goes shooting off toward the bathroom. Face a shade of green. Steve didn't think people could turn. Steve hopes for all their sake he makes it. Cleaning up puke is the worst when you don't feel like death. He would give the kids anything, and that includes an authentic high school party experience. And maybe some hash browns and a Gatorade from the gas station, too. But only if they get his house clean. The end. Author's notes. Steve and Dustin both have ADHD, and as a dopamine stimulant, cocaine can actually help manage some symptoms. Just to clarify that particular reference. Anyway, I'm on Tumblr. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded on the 4th of July because I was stupid and did not record while, like, you know, it was quiet out. I waited till after 6 p.m. when people were actively lighting fireworks, even though it's still light out, because I have never, ever learned from past experience. Anyway, I think I got most of the weird noises, background pops, that kind of thing, out of this. But if I didn't, we're going to call it ambient house party sounds. Anyway, thank you to Formosus Iniquis for having blanket permission to podfic. I really loved the thought you put into this because clearly, if Steve is going to have a reputation as the kind of guy who goes to parties and throws parties, he knows what to do and he has, like, I love just getting to see, like, this is him in his element and let me pass down something to my nerd children, you know? And then Eddie being like, drugs to our children? Like, he doesn't literally sell drugs every day at school. I love that. Not my child. And of course, Robin just sort of being like the I'm here to eat popcorn and watch you suffer agony aunt makes me extra. Or, no, actually, wait, not agony aunt. Wine aunt. Robin is the wine aunt. Yes, thank you to the most sneakers for having blanket permission to podfic. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. Have a nice day.